You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
It's Brandon Tierney and Sal Licata on WFAN The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
It is so funny how everybody overreacts to everything. So let me get this straight as it pertains to the New York Mets. The team, the same team that most of you had dead and buried 3 days ago, all of a sudden now, well on their way to winning a division here. You gotta relax and evaluate this team overall. And when you look at what the Mets have done here this season, there was always reason to believe that they were going to be a playoff team. So forget that for a second. Then when you watch what they've done recently, you know, losing that game on Sunday against Atlanta and watching the Phillies play the way that they have, there was reason to believe that the division was probably out of reach. And now, because the Mets have won the first two games from the Phillies, who they seem to own, at least for now, who they seem to own, the confidence is back in full force. And you should be excited if you're a Mets fan because they played pretty well here the last couple of days. However, it means nothing without a win tonight. They put themselves in a spot where there is no wiggle room. There is no margin for error as far as the division is concerned. Now, there's a whole nother conversation, even if you're not worried about the NL East, well, okay, just get in the playoffs and this team could do damage. That is something that I felt for a long time. I was remaining positive and calm through the thick of the storm here where most people were jumping off the boat. So I've always believed that this was a playoff team. And yes, they've been inconsistent. They know it. You heard Nimmo say it last night. Everybody said it. They've been inconsistent. You don't know what to believe at times with this team. But they have responded. That's the important thing. Forget about the two wins against the Phillies as it pertains to the standings for a second. They've responded against a team that they were going to be measured up against. This was a measuring stick series. Not the games and the loss column that they're behind the Phillies. No, a measuring stick. Hey, how are they going to stack up against a team that has been better than they have throughout the course of the season? To a tune of 7 games better prior to these two games. And they did look the Phillies in the eye, and they did beat the Phillies, and they've done it in good ways where you know, come back in these games or blow leads and then come back again, showing some toughness, some fight, some resiliency. Those are the important things that you look for with this group. But don't get ahead of yourselves here, thinking that all of a sudden now everything can be forgotten in the past, which it should be. Nothing else that happened prior to today matters. It's about the final 30 games of the season. Whether it's the 5 games back, the 3.5 in front of the Reds, getting the postseason, seeing what they could do. Yes, we all know that that's important. But there are some things that even in a win, the same way that I would say after a loss, yeah, but there are some good things there that's encouraging. Like the fact that you have, you know, whoever may be over the midst of the losing streak. Yeah, but I still like the Mets back into the bullpen at the top of the order. Those are things that we were saying when they were losing to still have belief. But even with the win last night, there is reason for concern. Two of their more integral pieces last night did not get the job done. That's a problem. Sean Manaea going 4 2/3 is a problem. Ryan Helsley not being able to get a clean inning when they desperately needed it, that's a problem. Right now, the Mets don't have an ace. Senga and Manaea have not pitched like that. That's an issue. All right, you love Nolan McClain. Great. He's done it for 2 starts. So do you know that he's going to be that guy? So just relax. Yeah, enjoy the wins. Get pumped up. Go for the sweep tonight. Hey, if the Mets don't sweep the Phillies, then they're not going to be in the conversation for the division. So right now, yeah, everything's back on. Game back on. Go win the division. Sure, it seems like that. But all it takes is one little slip up and a loss to the Phillies, and that's back off the table, and then it's about the postseason again, just getting there, which we expect the Mets to do, but they've put themselves in a tough spot where they're going to have to fight tooth and nail to be able to get there. And now, if you spin it forward, not even just for these 30 games, but also in the postseason, without Manaea being a force, and they could say that he's working his way back up. How many starts is it going to take here for Sean Manaea to work his way back up? The good news is that he could be a very effective pitcher. The bad news is that it's only for 3 or 4 innings. So now they have to figure out how to best utilize that. Also, they clearly need a new eighth inning guy. Helsley is not it. He can't be it. It's disappointing. It's shocking. You can't. This is not the time to be, well, we'll try it. Last night, I agreed with the decision from Mendoza to go out there and have Helsley start that eighth inning. There's no way you're bringing Rogers back out, even though it was a quick seventh inning. He's a one-inning guy. Start him with a clean inning. Rogers going to get the job done more often than not. He did his job. The only debate to me was if you're going to have Diaz pitch the full 2 innings there. And it's something I thought about, and the reason why I would say no is because you have to win tonight as well. And if you pitch Diaz for 2 innings right out of the gate, then you know you're likely not going to have him available for the next game, which they need. They could 2 out of 3 against the Phillies in this series, not good enough. Mets have to sweep if you want to win the division. If you want to be taken seriously in the NL East, you got to sweep the Phillies. And I'm sure that's what they're thinking. They know it. The Phillies know it. We should know it. 2 out of 3, not good enough. Can't go back to a 6-game deficit and have another game off the board. It would take a miracle for the Mets to win the division in that case. However, if they do sweep, now it's not necessarily a miracle. Now it's, okay, they've got a shot. Still going to be an uphill battle, but at least you'd be in the game. So anyway, you can't use Diaz right out of the gate for 2 innings and then take him off the table the next night. So you need your guy Helsley to go out there and do the job. And the one thing he couldn't do under any circumstance was give up that home run to Bader. Because otherwise he'd be out of the game after that. If Bader gets on, get out, you could go to Diaz right then and there for the 5-out save. And at least it was out of necessity. You tried it with Helsley, didn't work. Walk a guy, tougher. You know, the problem with Helsley is his fastball can't put people away. That's an issue. He can't put guys away. How many times are you going to watch it last night? 101 on the radar. Meanwhile, Diaz is throwing 98, and it looks like it's 120 blowing guys away. But Helsley's 101 on the radar. It's as straight as an arrow, and he can't put guys away. Fighting it off. Until they eventually walk or tattoo one, square one up, they hit it 9 miles. Harrison freaking Bader. Point is, Helsley cannot be the eighth inning guy. So even with the win last night, and I'm as excited as anybody else. I want to see this team win the division. You know that. Desperately. I thought that they would. I held out hope. Forget hope. That's the wrong word. I held out belief as long as I could. And where I really, truly stopped believing in the division was Sunday when they coughed that game up to the Braves, combined with the Phillies win, knowing that it was a 7-game deficit. I didn't believe. Of course, it was still possible, but I'd be lying to you if I said I believed they were going to win the division at that point. Because I knew what it would take. Minimum a sweep of the Phillies, and I did not think that was going to happen. And now that's there. That is possible. They've done a great job. But even with that win last night, there are some major, major concerns, like not having an eighth inning reliever or trying to figure out who that's going to be. You know, if you were to ask me 5 days ago, I said, hey, maybe call up Tong and have him come out of the bullpen and be that weapon. Well, clearly that's not going to be the case. They finally brought up Tong, but he's going to be a starter starting Friday night. Okay, it's good that he's up here. Better late than never, I guess. But he's not going to be that weapon out of the pen. So who the hell is going to be the eighth inning guy for this team? You can't have Diaz going, you know, 2 innings every time. Again, I'm thinking big picture. Big picture, talking postseason, you know, trying to get there. And then, of course, in the postseason. Helsley is a major problem. So, yes, it's great to have the win. And the Mets offense has been great. But there were 2 bad signs last night, even in the win, that should have you concerned long-term, big picture. Final 30 games, and then, of course, in the postseason with Manaea and Helsley. I don't know how you could overcome that. You know, they went and made a big trade, obviously multiple trades, to shore up that bullpen. And it's only going to work if those guys do their job. And Helsley, it's not that you got to be perfect every single time. Rogers hasn't, but he's done his job. Helsley has been awful almost every time. And just when you thought maybe he could start to turn the corner after a clean inning the night before, he goes out there with a two-run lead last night and gets beat yet again. So no longer can the Mets roll him out there and say, let's hope he gets a turnaround. Let's put him in a spot where, you know, we're going to get the most out of him. They tried that. It didn't work. He's now got to be removed from that high-leverage situation. So do you push Rogers to the eighth inning? Do you keep Rogers in the seventh and then go with Raley as an eighth inning guy? Is it just matchup dependent? Either way, it is a problem for the Mets. I mean, David Stearns can talk about how, well, at this point in the season, it's about having our best players on the roster or best pitchers on the roster or best, you know, 13, 14, whatever it may be. Okay, you want to have your – well, is Helsley one of those guys? Right now, the guy, he's an automatic run machine. I'm not trying to rip on the guy, but you can't trust him. That's a major problem. And the reason why it's magnified is because of the other major problem that they have with Sean Manaea not being able to give them any length. That's an issue. Because now you need more from your bullpen, and one of your biggest weapons that was supposed to be one of your biggest weapons with Helsley is not, you can't use him. He's unusable at this point. Unpitchable. You might as well put him in the same category as Frankie Montas. Unpitchable. And that's a problem. So while it's great to be excited and it's nice to have everybody back on the Mets bandwagon, oh, this wretched team. Those were the words that were being thrown out there with the New York Mets. And then just two wins against the Phillies. And by the way, it's not just the two wins against the Phillies. They did win two out of three in Atlanta and should have won more. And even with their awful stretch, you could tell that they should have won more of those games that they coughed up and lost. The offense is not just getting going. The offense has been going since August. It's the pitching that has killed them, and that's still a problem. So don't let the results fool you. Yes, you should get excited about it. Yes, it is about the results down the stretch here. Obviously, they need to win these games. But don't let the results fool you. Those issues still remain. Senga cannot pitch without extra rest. And even when he does, he's still not effective. And Manaea is not effective beyond four innings. Those are made up. How do you overcome that? How do the Mets overcome that? And the answer would be, well, they have a loaded bullpen, Sal. And I would say, you know what? You're right. That's the way to overcome it. Get to that bullpen early, especially in the postseason. But when you take out one of the key pieces in that bullpen with Helsley not being effective, now you've got a problem. So they're trying to figure this out on the fly. 30 games to go, fighting for their division lives tonight because a loss would officially bury them in the division. A win keeps hope alive. Still four back with 29 to go is not ideal, but you take it. You know, they're not going to win. You know, they're going to go 25-4 over these next, you know, final 29 games after tonight, even if they won. And it may take that. For whatever reason, think about it this way. When you, as it pertains to the division, the Mets have dominated the Phillies, right? Just losing two out of three in Philadelphia. Other than that, you know, they swept them early on. You could go back to last year if you want in the postseason, although they're different teams. So I don't know the relevance there necessarily, other than maybe it's just in the Phillies' head when they come play the Mets. And now the first two here and what, you know, it's not just the biggest games for the Mets. It's also the biggest games in the Phillies' season. But think about how bad this is that the Mets can dominate the Phillies head-to-head and still be significantly worse in the NL East. The Mets have owned the Phillies, but yet they're five games back still at this point. So what happens when the Phillies go away? You know, the Mets get back to their normal schedule, and the Phillies get back to their normal schedule. We are live here from the Salt Shack with Surfside. It's a fun day here. My home on Long Island. It's nice to be back. It's a great atmosphere, great event. It's very early in the morning, obviously. We'll get things started, although the volleyball fields here, the volleyball court, not looking good with the beach underwater. But this is a great setup. Fun to be out here. Enjoy a summer, you know, I was going to say summer Saturday. It's not even, I'm on vacation. This is the middle of my vacation here. It's Wednesday afternoon, and we're having fun. Looking forward to having some Surfsides here in the midst of this huge Phillies-Mets series. Of course, but we're live here from the Salt Shack. Come down if you're around the area. If you're not, give us a call, 888-808-1019. It's a bigger issue than just the results of the games last night for the Mets. They should not be five or seven games worse than the Phillies, obviously, which they were coming in, and now five after winning the first two. That's how poorly the Mets have played. They put themselves in this hole where there is no margin for error. The first two games of the series mean nothing without a sweep. Sweep the Phillies, and then we could talk. And even then, from there, there are some issues with this ball club that you have to have concerns about. Now, I'll still take my chances, get to the postseason. Hey, it's not just anybody can win once you get to the playoffs. It's that the Mets legitimately have pieces that you should believe in. Lindor, Soto, Alonso, Diaz, Rogers. They do have pieces that you can believe in. Unfortunately, a couple of the main key pieces for this team have just not gotten the job done. And it got overlooked last night because they came back and won. If they didn't win that game, Helsley's going to get ripped, we know that. But the Manaea aspect of it, Manaea only going 4 2/3, that's going to get overlooked because the Mets won. Senga not being good in game one of the series is going to get overlooked because the Mets won. And that should not be the case. There are still big flaws when it comes to this ball club that, with 30 games to go, you want to say, well, they got to figure it out. I don't know how you figure it out. Bringing Tong up is one solution potentially, but what do you expect now? So you expect Nolan McClain to come up and be perfect every start? He's not going to be perfect every start. What if he goes out there tonight and has a subpar performance? Not his fault, but it's that there's no wiggle room with this group. Tong, what if he comes up and doesn't have it and isn't dominant the way that he's been to start his career? You know, in the minor league career, double A and then triple A. BT and Sal on the Fan. BT is off. He's enjoying a vacation. We're here live at the Soul Shack, hanging out with Surfside for the day. Our friends at Town Fair Tire remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Elvis is in Orange, Connecticut, starting us off. What's up, Elvis?
Hey, Sal. Did you watch the game last night?
I did.
All right, let me ask you something. How many pitches who's the guy that pitched in the eighth inning? I always forget his name.
Helsley.
Okay. The seventh inning.
Rogers. Taylor Rogers.
Why didn't you bring him out?
Did you watch the game last night, Elvis? I mean, maybe I should be asking you that question.
Yeah. He only threw about 8 pitches.
Yeah, here's the thing, Elvis. I was texting about this, and thank you for the call. We appreciate you checking in.
No, don't hang up yet.
You got something else? Okay, get your other point, and then I'll answer that.
Because Mendoza is the one that he's the one that would have blew that game if Diaz didn't bail him out. You have no business bringing Hensley in. First of all, he can't even put the breaking ball over. It's like batting practice. They just sit there waiting for the fastball. How many times are you going to keep bringing the guy in? You only got 30 games left. You can't blow these games like this.
You can't anymore. You can't do it anymore. Go ahead.
No, he stinks. He has no business being in. And that guy only threw 8 pitches. They should have brought him out again. Why not?
Here's where I disagree, Elvis, and thank you for the call. I think it's a good point. I was texting about this in real time with Evan last night. And we've been texting a lot during these games here. You know, it's crunch time. Met fans, you know, I have these conversations. I know he's as locked in as anybody else. So we're texting about this in real time. And you could see it coming because everybody's thinking the same thing. Well, there's no way you can go with Helsley in this game. You've got to win this game. So what are the Mets going to do beyond Rodgers? For me, and Evan said he entertained your thought process saying, because we talked about this before Rodgers inning in the seventh, and it was more, well, Helsley to Diaz right away if there's any sign of trouble because Brooks Raley not going to be available. I was thinking either Raley or Helsley for me would have been the eighth inning. And I would not have gone Diaz with 2 innings because I told you that before. I'm not stretching him out when I know that they may need him in the final game of the series, which is just as important as the first two. Evan was saying that after the fact with Rodgers, because it was such a quick inning, to your point, Elvis, that Evan would have brought him back out for the eighth. I would not have done that under any circumstance. Rodgers is what he is. He is a very efficient, highly effective reliever for 1 inning. Start the clean inning with him. Don't bring him in. Mendy's got himself into a bad habit, bringing Rodgers in with guys on base. Stop. Stop doing that. Rodgers, you want to go to somebody else in that spot? Fair enough. You can't go to Rodgers there. Let him start an inning. I don't care if it's the seventh. I don't care if it's the eighth. Maybe he does get moved up or moved back to the eighth inning. Maybe it is going to be matchup dependent, but Rodgers, to me, should be a guy who pitches the start of a clean inning, and that's it, 1 inning. I don't care if it's 8 pitches, 30 pitches, 1 inning, that's it. You can't keep stretching these guys out and get them away from what makes them so effective. So I would not have entertained the idea of bringing back Rodgers, even though it was just 7 or 8 pitches, whatever he threw. I personally would have done exactly what Mendoza did. I would have gone with Helsley there. Problem is, he was just saying, okay, well, we got a two-run lead. There's some wiggle room. And if he gets in trouble, I'm going to be ready to go to Diaz. The problem is his trouble, Helsley's trouble, was game-tied, two-run bomb to Bader. You can't be thinking that he's going to be giving up a home. Like, Helsley has not been – I mean, Helsley has stunk since he's been here. Obviously not been good. You can't imagine he's going to give up a two-run tying homer to Bader. A lot would have to happen for that to be the case. And it happened. Walked the guy and then gave up, you know, a two-run bomb that I think is still going. He can't put guys away with his fastball. So now, I think definitively, we've all seen, you could have said, well, you didn't want Helsley there. Well, what would you have done? Diaz for two innings? And then you take him out of play tonight? Now, obviously, he had to go to Diaz earlier than he would have liked to anyway, but that was an emergency situation, not doing it willingly ahead of the cause. So now I would agree that Helsley cannot be used in the eighth inning or any high-pressure situation. But that's a problem for them. So who's going to close out the game tonight? You're going to have Raley available. Okay, maybe Rodgers can pitch again because he threw the fewer pitches that he, you know, the amount of pitches he threw last night, 7 or 8 pitches. Fair enough. So you could have Rodgers again and then Raley. Are you going back to Diaz again? They might have to. Now you're really stretching him, and you're worried about his effectiveness. Point is, they had to go to Helsley at some point here to see if they could get him back on track. I thought last night was the right spot, coming off of the clean inning the night before. Two-run lead, so it's not just the one skinny run. And it was the bottom part of the order. He gave it up. He cannot be trusted moving forward. End of story. And that's a problem for the Mets. So while it's great that they've won these first two games and have got themselves back into the conversation for the division, A, they need a sweep to make it really stick and be in play. B, even with the win, there were some concerning things, some alarming things last night, specifically with Manaea and Helsley. BT and Sal on the Fan, BT on vacation. I'm here live at the Soul Shack here, hanging out with Surfside all day long out on Babylon, Long Island. Come by if you're in the area. Beautiful venue. 888-808-1019, the number to call. Back to your calls when we come back. That's where we're at with the Hells Bells. You never want to hear that again. Look, I like Ryan Helsley. I love the acquisition. I thought it was going to be a great move for the Mets. I even gave him, like, BT and I were arguing about this a couple weeks ago. He's like, oh, Helsley's toast, whatever. And I'm like, dude, it's been 6 outings, whatever it was. And now, obviously, I mean, you look at the numbers. He's given up, what, 12 runs or something, 11 outings? It's been ridiculous. You can't be worse than Helsley's been. Doesn't mean he'll never figure it out. We went through this with Devin Williams, although I think this is a lot worse. My issue is that the guy throws 101 miles an hour. He's not getting it by anybody. So you could throw it as hard as you want. When you throw it as straight as an arrow like he does, clearly it can be hit or at the very least fouled off to a point where you try to throw a secondary pitch and then he can't throw that for a strike. That's a major issue. And now, whatever shred of confidence Helsley had left, it's gone. And we're not in the business of repatching or repairing the fragile psyche of a player. Not with 30 games to go, you're not. And the Mets can talk about all they want. They don't have that luxury. Season's almost over here. You're fighting for a playoff spot. You're fighting for the division. You can't be worried about Ryan Helsley. Unfortunately, he's not getting the job done. Tell me a situation that the Mets should feel comfortable pitching Ryan Helsley in from now on with 30 games to go. He's in the Montas Club. I don't want to see him. At least with Helsley, you feel like maybe there's potential he could get it turned around, but he just had a clean inning 2 nights ago, and then you have him go out there last night and do that. Like, I think the... He might be able to be useful at some point over this final 30-game stretch. The idea of ever trusting him in a big spot again, I just don't think you can. I think it's over. The BT and Sal Show on the Fan is presented by your Tri-State Cadillac dealers. Cadillac, the official luxury vehicle of these New York Mets that we're talking about here. Hey, but they have won 2 straight against the Phils, working their way back into the division. And everybody's excited. Looking to go out there tonight, see if they can finish the job and get the sweep done. We are here live at the Salt Shack on Long Island, hanging out with Surfside for the day. Come by and say hello. Jerry Recco on his way here after he just did the morning show with Willie. Fun day in store for you. 888-808-1019. Let's get back to the phones here on the Mets. Owen is calling from Connecticut. What's up, Owen?
What's going on, Sal? Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for making it. What's up?
Just chatting about the Mets bullpen here. Obviously, you know, talk about Helsley's just not feeling it. He's just not it right now. I'm kind of getting the vibes with, you know, how David Peterson saved that game against the Brewers last year. What do you think about Tyler McGill coming back and taking that eighth inning role?
Yeah, I don't love that idea. It's not a bad one, Owen, and thank you for the call. I mean, look, the Mets are going to have to get creative here. So boil it down to exactly what Stern said, and that's why I've been calling for them to call up, you know, dating back to before McLain came up, McLain, Sproat, Tong. I mean, this is going on for weeks. We've been saying the same thing. And I am not like everybody else. Because, you know, Yankee fans, oh, Spencer Jones. You know, Met fans, whether it's last year, oh, Vientos or Alvarez, like everybody, Beatty, bring all these guys up. Bring them all up now. I am the exact opposite of that. So when I'm asking for them to call up somebody, it's with good reason. Not just because I want to see the new shiny toy that we know nothing about from the minor league system. There was reason to want to see Sproat, McLain, Tong. Twofold. Number one, because those guys, especially McLain and Tong, who are the first two up here, Sproat's still not here, those two guys have earned a look, combined with the fact that the Mets need it. It's an area of need. Like, they got to a point where it was just desperation. Hey, I understand that it may be too soon to call up Tong. There's a risk that you're taking there. It's a risk the Mets have to take. I'd rather take that risk based off of his dominance and their need and have him fall flat on his face than not have him come up here at all. You cannot sit on that type of weapon. Same thing with McLain. They pushed it, finally bring him up. Look what he's done to the rotation in just two starts. Doesn't mean it's going to continue. It means that they had no choice but to go to these guys. It's not just for me, one size fits all. Bring him up, call him up. I think a lot of people do that. I'm not one of them. This was a unique circumstance. You just felt that the time was right. They needed it. The players performed as such. They're desperate. Give it a shot. And they're now doing that. Now, with that being said, back to your Tylor Megill point, I am not a fan of Tylor Megill. I would not trust him in a big spot ever. You want to tell me he could be a useful piece at some point down the stretch? Maybe. I'm looking to have the best pitchers on the roster, period. Worry about how you use them after you assemble the best pitchers on the roster. Does Tylor Megill really fit one of those roles? I know Montas wouldn't. He's on there, obviously, because of the money or whatever that he's making. Fine. That's why the Mets keeping him. Otherwise, you cut him. Stanek, Reed Garrett got hurt, so obviously he could go on the IL, and you could avoid having to send him down, whatever it may be. I'm looking to get the best arms on this roster and then figure out how to use them. Maybe Megill can work himself into that conversation. For me, I'd rather go to Sproat before I would go to Tylor Megill. I'd rather use Tong in a high-leverage situation out of the bullpen. Although maybe he's going to take over as a main piece in this rotation. We'll see what happens on Friday night. Rob is in Oyster Bay. What's up, Rob?
How's it going, man?
Good, Rob. How are you?
Good, man. See what happens when the Mets play good baseball? You buy tickets. I bought tickets for tonight. I'm about to see Cowboy Ohtani. But you hit it on the head, the bullpen, bro. Ryan Helsley, man, that was a great acquisition, like you said, but he just doesn't have it. Doesn't have the swing and miss stuff. I do like Tylor Megill in the eighth inning or even in the bullpen because I like Brandon Sproul in the rotation when he comes up. But I don't know. I don't know how you feel about Sproul coming out of the pen. But yeah, they need to figure it out and get creative, like you said.
Well, they move. So yeah, thanks for the call, Rob. Enjoy the game tonight. Yeah, fans are excited. That's what I was saying before. I have a hard time. How come I was fighting so many of y'all for 3 weeks here? Team is wretched. Team stinks. This team's awful. They're going nowhere. And now all of a sudden, two measly wins against the Phillies while also showing significant flaws in those two wins, and everybody's back. Like, you're ignoring the same things that you were calling up ripping the team about just because they won these games. It's not always about the result. It's not about the result. As somebody who's maintained the even keel for the most part with the Mets, you have to acknowledge that the closer we get to the end of the season, the bigger their flaws become, especially when you talk about a potential ace and an eighth inning guy. Those are two of the most important reasons that you would have success in the postseason. Their ace is Sean Manaea. He can't go more than four innings. That's a major freaking problem. Their eighth inning weapon, Helsley, was their biggest trade deadline acquisition. He's been a total bust. Like, we're talking Billy Taylor territory. Look him up for you youngins. Look up Billy Taylor. You remember him off, Billy Taylor?
No.
Okay, they traded for Billy Taylor. He was a great closer with the A's. He came to the Mavericks, what was that, 98, 99, something like that? He was awful. Maybe it was even 2000. I forget. Nah, maybe it was 99. Anyway, point is, look him up. He was awful. And he was supposed to be great. I mean, Helsley was their prized acquisition at the trade deadline. Not Cedric Mullins. Yeah, Tyler Rogers is good. Helsley was the move. Luckily for them that they still have some options. Soto, Rayleigh. Like right now, I always would go by, if you go to the bullpen, I would go a triangle of trust you'd want. The way that bullpens have evolved and the way that starters don't go deep anymore, forget the Mets specifically for a second, you have to go more than the triangle of trust and you kind of go to a square. The Mets then, at the deadline, went and built themselves a bullpen where they had five guys that you could trust. Diaz, Rogers, Rayleigh, Soto, and Helsley. Well, now it's down to four, which is still serviceable. If you get five or six innings from your starting pitchers. That's a big if. Soto, Rayleigh, Diaz, Rogers. That's it. Tell me the other arm you trust out of there. Could it be Sproat? I don't know. Sproat's one outing out of the bullpen this year in the minor leagues didn't go very well. Now, does that translate? I have no idea what that means. Maybe it doesn't mean anything. It's worth a look, and maybe Tyler McGill will be worth a look. Here's the problem. There's no margin for error here. Whether you talk about the division, whether you talk about a playoff spot, like this is not a time to be evaluating and learning about guys. You're just going to throw Tyler McGill to the fire in the eighth inning with a one-run lead? Not me. I'm not. It's the square of trust for me. That's it. Square of trust or bust. Diaz, Rogers, Rayleigh, Soto. Not Stanek. Not Garrett if he were healthy. That's it. Now, maybe Tong or Sproat could earn their way in there. Again, I don't know how they're going to use Tong. Obviously, he's going to start on Friday. Maybe he's a mainstay there starting. Maybe they figure they could use him out of the pen eventually. But for now, there's only four guys that I would trust. Back to your calls in a little bit. 888-808-1019. This summer, stay cool and hydrated with the official water of Major League Baseball, Primo Brands. With Primo Brands water delivery, you get premium hydration from trusted brands like Poland Spring, Pure Life, and Saratoga, delivered right to your door. Stock up for game day or just keep everybody refreshed. Still sparkling or flavored, there's something for everyone. And the best part, you call the shots. Whether you need a few cases or a full week supply, Primo's flexible delivery fits your schedule. So step up to the plate, hydrate like a pro with Primo Brands, the official water sponsor of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission. A Yankee fan should be excited that the team playing well, but you should also acknowledge that it's against crappy teams, and this is what the Yankees do. They bludgeon crappy teams. I would expect it to continue today. One thing is, you want to get Judge going on. You know, Stan's on a heater, and Stan's not in the lineup today. And that's, you know, obviously par for the course as well. I got to be honest. You know I love Boone. I can't take these lineups with the Yankees. I just can't take them seriously. When they sit Volpe, when they play Volpe, when they sit Dominguez, it's not a surprise to anybody. But that doesn't mean it still can't be infuriating. These things, I bet you if we talked to Boone today, he'd tell me what the lineups are for the final 30 games of the year. Like, that's how far out they have it mapped out. It's ridiculous. It's got to stop. But it's not going to stop. So I'm tired of yelling about it. Anyway, you got Grisham in there leading things off in center field. This is the lineup that I actually like outside of not having a stand in there. By the way, Judge, before we get to the rest of the lineup, Judge made that big fuss a week ago about Aaron Boone. What Boone said, that he's probably not going to be able to throw at 100% the rest of the way. Is Judge playing the outfield? What happened? I thought it was going to be, oh, maybe St. Louis, maybe Boston. What's going on here? How many weeks is it before Judge is going to be in the outfield? Big, bad Aaron Judge, who, God forbid, the manager speaks with some honesty, and it wasn't even a knock on the guy. Big, bad Aaron Judge. No, I don't know where he got that. He hasn't seen me throw. Nobody's seen you throw. You can't take the field. Get in the outfield. Good God. He has a lot to say, but yet he can't get in the outfield yet, which is annoying because then the Yankees don't have their hottest bat in the lineup. So which is it, Judgy? You're going to get back to full 100% health? Or are you just mad because you can't get out there, so you take it out on the manager, who goes over out of his way and bends over backwards to protect this ball club? Lousy ball club at times, I might add. The Yankees. We had the Yankees a couple years ago. We are the Yankees missing the ball. But, you know, whatever song I had on the overnight. Get it, Yankees? Y-A-N-K-K-K. And now it's the Y-A-N-K-E-E-E. Yankees. All they did was miss the ball. Can't field it, can't throw it. Back to the lineup. Grisham leading off, Ben Rice hitting second. You got Judge at DH, third. Bellinger, four. See, I like that. 1, 2, 3, 4. And then it should be Stanton behind him, but it's not because Stanton's not in the lineup today. Jazz is behind Bellinger. Lots of lefties. Dominguez in there behind Jazz. Volpe back in the lineup. He's playing short as well, so it's nice to see him back in there. Austin Wells catching. McMahon at third, and then Max Fried on the mound. It'd be a big start for Max Fried with the Yanks. But again, it's against the Nationals. Nationals stink. What do you expect? I expect the Yankees to go out there and bury him. We know what the Yankees are. That's the big difference from them and the Mets. The Yankees are no doubt about it a postseason team. We've known that for a long time. I still think a team that can win the division. You watch these final 30 games. How the Yankees are going to go on some kind of run because they have crappy teams on their schedule. That is a part of the equation. When we're evaluating these teams over the last couple of weeks, knowing what the Yankees do, the Yankees will bludgeon bad teams to death. That's what they do. It's not a knock. It's the reality. And the only question with them is going to be, when they get in the postseason, will their big bats continue to hit? You have to like the state of their bullpen better than you did earlier in the year. You like the state of the rotation. Schlittler has been a revelation for them. If they can, you know, Heel is Heel, Rodon's Rodon. If they can get Fried back to being Fried, they're going to have a shot here. Doval in the bullpen could be a weapon, even though, you know, I know he's been inconsistent. Williams writing things. The Yankees have the pieces. The biggest question to me is going to be, can they hit in the postseason, which is something that they usually fall short of doing in comparison to what they do in the regular season. Let's get back to the phones here with the Mets. One other thing before we get back to the phones on the Mets. How much time I got here off? I got a few minutes. Quickly, the other thing that bothered me last night, Pete Alonso cannot throw the ball. He is a liability at first base. He injured Kodai Senga earlier in the year, and that set Senga's season off to the wrong track. He obviously, even when he came back, and he came back sooner than expected, but he's been nowhere near where he was before he got hurt, leaping for that throw that Alonso, you know, the bad throw from Alonso. Last night, he almost got Diaz killed. It's clearly a mental thing. I'm not trying to pick on Pete. He's been the most impactful offensive player that the Mets have had this year. We love him, home run king, all that stuff. The reality is he cannot throw the baseball. He certainly can't throw it on the play where the pitcher's covering first base. Not only can he not throw it, he's going to get another pitcher hurt, as he almost did with Edwin Diaz last night. He's got to fix it. It's the yips. It's the Steve Sachs, Chuck Knobloch, Mackie Sasser thing. Whatever's going on with Alonso, he's got to fix it. Can't have that happen. Can't have it happen and cost the Mets an out, let alone getting somebody hurt. That's a major problem with Pete Alonso. I want him back. I want him back as a DH, not as a first baseman. Alex is calling from Midland, Texas. What's up, Alex?
Hey, Sal. I've been listening to you since the pandemic. I was looking at the upcoming schedule, and the Phillies, of course, have Atlanta this weekend at home. Hopefully the Braves can take care of business. Hopefully the Mets can beat the Marlins, and the Phillies go to Milwaukee next week. So the division is still in front of the Mets for sure.
Alex, the one thing, and first of all, we appreciate your listening loyalty. The one thing I would say as far as the division goes, if the Mets don't win tonight, the division is back off the table as far as I'm concerned. I held out longer than most saying that the division wasn't over because I really believed. You know, a big part of why I held out hope, I don't think the Phillies are that good. Keith Hernandez said it yesterday on the Mets pod, and he's right. The Phillies are overrated. They're not that good. They're better than the Mets have been throughout the course of the regular season, not head-to-head, but I don't think they're that good. So when you look at the – or as far as – I shouldn't say that. Look, they're good relative to, you know, the rest of the league, sure. I'm talking about a team that – this is not the Braves of 2022 when they came back and, you know, stormed the Mets from behind and, you know, swept them and won the NL East on the last day, whatever it may be. They're not that good. This is not some juggernaut team. The Phillies were also disposed of last year after winning the division rather quickly by the Mets in the division series. So I was never scared of the Phillies. That's a big part of why I held out belief that the Mets were going to win the division. However, it gets to a certain point where the Mets continue to cough these games up. Mathematically, seven games back with 32 to go, it's nearly impossible. Nearly impossible. And the only way where they'd even have a shot is if they sweep the Phillies. So before you start looking at the Marlins and the Braves and the Brewers, meaning the upcoming schedules for the Mets and the Phillies respectively, you got to focus on tonight. If the Mets don't win tonight, the division's over. They'd be six games back with 29 to play. Just not. I don't care if they play the Phillies four more times. So they have to win tonight. Then you could start talking division. And then you could start worrying about the Marlins, who aren't bad. And they got good pitching. So before we get to the NL East, Mets got to win tonight. That's up first. 888-808-1019, BT and Sal on the Fan, live here at the Salt Shack in Babylon, Long Island. Here hanging out with Surfside all day. Come by and stop by if you're in the area. 888-808-1019.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.